Well, hey, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of Faith and Friends. I'm your host, your sister in Christ, and your friend, Georgia Brown, and I am so grateful that you're here for another fun-filled, faith-filled conversation. This past week, we talked with our friend Michael as we went through Matthew 6 in our prayer series of talking about give us this day our daily bread. So if you weren't able to join us, I would definitely go back and listen to that incredible anointed conversation. But today we are continuing in the model prayer, what we have been calling, you know, the Lord's Prayer, of this truly outline of how Jesus kind of tells us how we should be praying. And today we are talking with our friend Laura Osnes as we talk about forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Verse 12 of Matthew 6. This conversation is a sweet one. I love Laura so much, and her story is all for God's glory. And she's been through the fire, but guess what? She has come out of this truly shining. Diamonds are made under pressure, and Laura is a pure diamond, all for God's glory. And oh, I just love her so much, and this conversation was a sweet one. So I truly pray that it blesses you and meets you right where you're at. All right, let's dive right in. Laura Osnes, my girl, my friend, my sister in the Lord. Hi.
Hi, Georgia. I'm so honored to be here. Thanks for having me, girl.
Oh my gosh, of course. I'm so grateful for you. And my goodness gracious, you are a singer, an actress, and you're known for so many beautiful roles and, you know, as wife and as daughter of the king, but most known for Cinderella. You know, we just love her. We love her.
Exactly.
And now you're here in Tennessee, and you kind of came here on a very interesting journey, not an easy one. The road less traveled for sure, as that poem talks about. And right. We sat for coffee, and I was like, Laura, I'd love to have you on Faith and Friends, girl. We're talking about prayer, all the things. And we just talked about what conversation would you like to step into? What do you feel the Lord leaning you to? And I said, I have this one called Forgive Us As We Forgive Those, you know, in Matthew 6. And you were like, that's it. That's the one.
Yeah.
That's it.
Totally. Forgiveness is not an easy topic to talk about. And when you said the other option was like something about prayer and provision,
yeah.
I think, and then forgiveness. And I just felt this like thing in my heart that was like, I think you need to talk about forgiveness, because it's something I've had to really learn. And in the process, I'm learning that forgiveness is a process. It's mm-hmm. not like a one and done prayer and great, moved on. Forgive others as you forgive, as God forgives us. Great. Like easy peasy. No, it doesn't really work that way. So I'm excited to get to talk about that and share my journey and my heart along the way of forgiving others.
Yeah, absolutely. Because everyone's journey is going to look different. I mean, but I'm just grateful to hear your heart behind what the Lord has brought you through, because that is how we come to really know Him more and more, is through our testimony. And it's just so beautiful, although it's not always easy. And it sometimes takes us through the valley of the shadow of death. But I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, truly. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to say a little like backstory, but then I want you to take me there. So you were in New York, you were in Broadway, doing all the things, living your life. I mean, up until this point, like that was your life. Like theater, this is what you've been wanting. This was the dream. This was the goal. But sometimes dreams and goals shift as the Lord has to prune us. And in the process, it's kind of prickly. It hurts like a little cactus of getting poked. And, you know, it's like, ouch, like those old cartoons.
Yes.
And you kind of didn't leave by like your own will. It really was the Lord kind of pushed you out of the door. So tell me about some of that.
Yes. So good. So I spent 14 years in New York City, acting, singing, dancing. I had a very blessed career getting to check a lot of dream roles off my list on Broadway. I did 6 Broadway shows. And COVID, essentially, when the, you know, whole pandemic happened, the industry was very shut down. And New York City got hit very hard. And I think fear gripped a lot of people, anxiety, worry, hopelessness was kind of reigning in that city for a long time, and rightly so. It really did hit the city hard. My husband and I ended up kind of escaping to Connecticut for the majority of that quarantine time. And just kind of as the city was beginning to come back, vaccine mandates were being put into place. And I'll just be honest and say that I had to back out of a couple jobs at the time. My husband and I decided to just hold off a little bit on the vaccine, and I had to back off of a couple jobs that were beginning to mandate. And somehow, the New York Post found out and decided to make it very public and basically broadcast my vaccination status, saying that I was fired for refusing to get vaccinated. And there were several mischaracterizations within that article about how the events went down. And it very much kind of attacked my character and said that I was like wanting my castmates to get sick and putting people in danger. We hadn't even started rehearsals yet. Again, it was my choice to kind of back out. Anyway, I was it led to kind of a firestorm of media hatred, and I felt like I was very kind of publicly canceled. And Nate and I felt like it wasn't safe for us to stay in New York anymore. A lot of the majority of the community either distanced themselves from me or turned completely. And we moved down to Tennessee for a fresh start and a safe, soft place to land. And we have absolutely loved it here. It has been so welcoming. But everything that I knew, and as you alluded to earlier, I had put my identity in, came crashing down. And I didn't know who I was without that. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I have always been a person of faith, but this felt like, Lord, what in the world are you doing? This is so painful. This is more than just a cactus prick. This is like my world, like shattering, is what it felt like. And at first, you're just trying to pick up the pieces, right? And then I realized that, like, that wasn't actually the plan to pick up the pieces and try to move forward as we knew it. It was like, oh no, the pieces are shattered. And God's like, I have something completely different and new for you. But when that's all I've ever known, I had no idea what this new season was going to look like. And talk about forgiveness. Again, it felt like, and I don't, I'm just tangenting here, but it's like I felt wronged in so many ways. Just because I never made a statement about anything. I was like, I have the right to choose what I feel I need to do to my body for my body right now. But that was not the accepted narrative and way of thinking in New York City, and especially within the entertainment industry. And so it felt very good to hold on to that bitterness for a while, because I think if you heal too quickly, then it means like it wasn't, it didn't hurt that bad.
Like
And
I'm good.
yeah, it's okay. It's okay. I love everybody. I'm going to forgive everybody. And I was like, that it just was not easy for me to do that. And I started kind of pouring my emotions into songwriting. And I used a lot of that pain and a lot of some of the betrayal that I felt, and released an EP like 6 months ago. And I will be honest and say one of the songs is called Bitter. So
Come on, girl.
I was like, you know what? This is where I am right now. And so I'm writing my truth. And that song actually started as a song called Grateful. And the verses was this were the same. And then the chorus became, but I'm taking these hurtful things and I'm choosing to be grateful in the midst of it. Like, I'm like, this is the message I want to put out into the world. I want to try to be salt. I want to try to be light. I want to try to set a good example. But I left the session going like, that's just not where I am yet. And we had a rewrite on the session and decided to just write the truth. And I feel like a lot of healing came from being able to write that song. And I go, bitterness is real, hurt is real, pain is real. And as believers, it's okay to feel those things. However, we need to channel them in the right way. We are called to love others. So how, when we are wronged, do we treat the people who have done us wrong? And I think I felt for a while, I was like, okay, I'm not going to be outwardly hateful, but I'm not ready to love you yet. So I just need to also distance myself while I work on myself and while I work on my heart for a little bit until I'm ready to forgive a little bit more.
Right. It is a process. I love what you said about like this vase or this, you know, this bowl, whatever it is, like your little flower pot that you've been planted in for so long. And then it just falls out from under you and you want to pick up these pieces. And what comes to mind, Laura, is like you're trying to pick them up, but it's like broken glass to where you get cut in the process of you're trying to
Oh.
mend something that was never meant to be picked up again. That the
Sure.
Lord's like, come on, it's time for a new season. I don't want this to hurt you anymore. Look over here. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Let me give you rest. Let me be the one. Because truly, during a time that was, first of all, so confusing and crazy, and there was so much noise for then,
Yeah.
for the enemy through the use of media where you didn't even speak up. I mean, you were just being quick to listen and slow to speak. And you were like, I got to do what's best for me and my family. The enemy comes in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord raises a standard. And man,
Man.
you were like publicly, like truly, for better or worse words, like humiliated. And like, I can't imagine how that felt when you're just trying to love as Christ has loved you. And so how did that feel when you did you feel like you had to fight for your words at first? Did you want to like vindicate yourself and, you know, vengeance? But I know the Lord says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. But
I
we're so
know.
quick to be like, wait, let me tell you my side of the story. Because sometimes we get that, but sometimes we don't.
I know. A really good question. Yes, I did feel like that at first, and I think because the article had several kind of untruths and felt like it was written in such a way to purposely attack and mischaracterize me. After, you're right, I felt like I was called to be a missionary in New York, essentially, and just love on people in the industry for 14 years. And that in this moment, my reputation meant nothing, that all of that was overturned in a moment because of this one decision that I was choosing to make. I actually did craft a response to the New York Post and posted it on my Instagram like 5 days later. And I went through so many drafts of it and prayed over it like crazy. And obviously, I knew I wasn't going to change people's minds. I knew that wasn't my job. No matter what you say, I'm like, we're allowed to think differently. Like, that needs to be okay. Like, we can agree to disagree, but is where's the respect or the allotment for a freedom of choice here? And I felt like that was something I actually had to stand up for. I felt called to stand up for, which was really interesting because I feel like God was like, yes, vengeance will be mine. However, when given an opportunity to be strong and courageous, are
Come
you going to
on.
just fade into the background and hope it blows over and try not to ruffle feathers and hope people forget? Or are you going to go, actually, I think I'm being called to stand here in the face of adversity and have a backbone and develop fortitude. And that was really hard because I felt like, you know, I'm a fish swimming upstream, and wrote a song about that as well. And so there's a balance, right? And I think at the end of the day, it's about listening to the Lord and acting in obedience in whatever He's calling you to do. And there's a time for everything. There's a time to stand back and be quiet, and there's a time to stand up and stand firm. And I'm not perfect at that, but that has always been my goal, is to seek His will first and try to act in obedience. And we've been, man, it's been a rocky journey of trying to navigate that the last year and a half, but forgiveness is a huge part of that I felt called to do.
For sure. Girl, you're out here quoting Ecclesiastes. There's a time for everything. And I
I
just,
know.
girl, I just love you. And then by saying standing up, like I think about those Hebrew boys that were like, we're not going to bow down. Just if everybody else is, I don't care if it's just me and my two homeboys, like we're going to stand firm. And man, like, okay, when it comes to forgiveness, some of these people that you had been doing life with, I think sometimes I think, oh, everybody's my friend. Like we're all friends. But then when like, you know, rubber hits the road and things get a
Yes.
little rocky, and some true colors are revealed and a heart posture is revealed of like, are you going to stick closer to me than a brother? Today's verse of the day was Proverbs 18:24, where it talked about, you know, a true friend versus a friend that's just sometimes there. A true friend sticks closer than a brother, even through adversity and all that. And so What was that like, that people that you thought, oh my gosh, I thought we were going to be in each other's lives forever? How have you gone about, maybe like you said, taking a season to say, let me work on myself and like
Yeah.
be able to forgive you in my heart? Because there's a difference, like you said, between just saying, oh, I'm good with my mouth, and then truly letting that penetrate your heart as well.
Oh, for sure. It was, I mean, it was very hurtful. And I hadn't gone through anything like that before. I've been, praise the Lord, fairly like well liked in my life. I haven't had to deal with a lot of hatred or public hatred. And
Yeah.
it was very surprising to me, very hurtful. And of course, I think like things had to get that bad for me to be like, I need to leave, for God to be like, wait, I have something else for you. I'm sorry that this is going to be so painful, but this drastic thing is going to have to happen, I think, to uproot me from New York. I thought I was a lifer. I thought this was my calling forever. And like, I don't know if I would have considered
Yeah.
moving or
Yeah.
doing something else had this not happened the way that it did. I think what I had to learn was that my healing and the hurt that I felt couldn't be contingent upon the wrong, upon them wanting forgiveness or apologizing.
Oh.
And it feels really good. You're like, you want everybody to apologize,
Oh
or
yeah.
at least acknowledge, at
Like
least
you owe me
acknowledge.
this.
Yes, exactly. And you don't always get that. And I
Yeah.
realized that by holding on to that and wanting that only prevented my own healing process, and
Yeah.
holding on to bitterness only feels good for a season. And then you realize it seeps into every other area of your life. And that's not the human that I wanted to be and that I was called to be. I mentioned this before we started rolling, but I started reading this book by Lisa Turkhurst. It's called Forgiving What You Can't Forget. And if anyone has been through a season of feeling like they've been wronged or hurt or betrayed, this book is phenomenal. I'm only halfway through, and I've underlined, I'm highlighting things, I've written journal entries about things. It's very, very powerful. And I feel like I'm just kind of pulling some quotes from, that book as well, but acknowledging the vulnerability to say, I'm also imperfect. And
Yeah.
what God did, He did for me just as much as the person who wronged me. And I need forgiveness just as much as that person who was created in God's image and whom God loves equally. And so, if God can forgive me, the best reflection of the Lord is to forgive that other
Yeah.
person. And even that was God's dying words, was like, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Like,
Yes.
oh my goodness. And what a reflection to, even when that person doesn't want forgiveness, even if that person hasn't apologized, to still be like, in my heart, I am choosing to forgive. And it is a process. It's a decision and it's a process. And so I think now it's been a year and a half, Georgia, since all that happened. And I
Yeah.
feel like I'm still in the process.
For sure.
But now I can talk about it. And now I at least have some words around. Yeah, knowing that it doesn't happen overnight, I think is half the battle.
I'm
Okay.
so glad that you brought up the verse, Father, forgive them for they do not know what they do, because I was going to bring that up. Because seriously, I think about the cross. I mean, it goes both ways. His arms
It
were
does.
stretched wide. And so we need to forgive those around us, but it also is vertical. Think about the things that he has forgiven you from. I mean, we all fall short of the glory of
Yes.
the Lord, and we really have to remember that very often. Like, I'm reading Old Testament, Laura, and he's always having to remind the people, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And I always am highlighting it, because he's having to literally tell them every few verses, it seems like, this is who I am. Don't you remember, like, who I am
Yes.
to you? And so when you remember who he is to you, you can really extend that love to others, because you don't have to love for love. We love from love because we were loved first, as it talks about in 1 John 4. And so, man, forgiveness is just a part of it. And something else that I would love for you to speak on, Laura, is forgiveness doesn't always mean, like the book says, forgetting, but forgiveness also doesn't look like maybe bringing them back into your close three of like your Peter, James, and John.
Right.
So what has that looked like in just like having kind of some new healthy boundaries?
Wow. That's really good. I think I've had to learn that as well. Because initially it was just, that's exactly well said. I don't even know how to better say it, but it's knowing that those people don't have to be your best friends again. However, they don't have to be your enemies.
Come on, that's good.
So it's like for a while it felt like enemies, but then you're like, wait, forgiveness through that process. You can at least, you don't have to love what they did, but you do still have to love the person. We are still called to love and be kind. And that Lisa talks about that too in this book, where it's like, there, you don't have to hate the person because of what they did, because God still loves the person, but you can hate what happened and how it went down and what someone did to hurt you. But that's really interesting. It's, and then finding new people. I feel like God has brought a new community into our lives here in Tennessee, and we needed it. I mean, in a moment we were like, I feel like we lost our entire, and
world.
It wasn't our entire community. I mean, it's easy for me to say that in a, you know, generalization, but some of those people, of all things, a year later have come back or have apologized in a way, or at least I have been able to have some deep conversations and hopefully show love and compassion or talk through some of the hurt and pain. And I think like having gone through that process on the other side of hurt and pain is someone who has a new sense of empathy, of compassion, of humility, of strength, of fortitude. And then I realized like what God did in me by having to go through that. And that's where I go, oh, it's worth it to learn how to forgive. And character is being built in the midst of that process. And that's actually a really beautiful thing to see as well.
Wow. That it is beautiful. And for you to be on this other side, it's still a process every day.
For
like
sure.
One foot in front of the other. But for you to say, God, like, I trust you even in the heartache and in the hurt. Man, I mean, that just shows where your heart is in your own growth. So that's beautiful.
I think half the balance too is just being willing to forgive. There was a season where I wasn't willing. I didn't want to. And I think all God asks us to do is bring a willingness to forgive. And then it's like trusting him to do the rest. Because we can't do anything in our own human power.
No.
We can't do anything. Like it's not up to us. But I think the willingness of being able to acknowledge and want to forgive is a big first step. I had a verse in Ephesians as well that I wanted to bring up. It's Ephesians 4:32. It says, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. And Colossians as well, 3:13, it says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. It's like he continues to remind us of this.
Yes.
And as good as bitterness feels, we are called to be tenderhearted. We are called to make room for each other's faults. I am not perfect. We are called to forgive those who offend. Pray for your enemies. That happened a lot too. Praying for those people who I felt wronged me. And the Lord really does. He works.
Yeah.
And time heals. And it's cool to look back now and be like, that was really hard, but I learned a lot by having to go through that. And I'm still growing a lot from having to go through that.
What did it look like to pray for those who hurt you? Because that's something we're called to do. What did it feel like at first? Was it kind of foreign to be like, Lord?
Yes, it was very foreign. The thing that I did find comfort in is that it felt like that was the only thing I could do.
Wow.
I knew I couldn't talk to them. I knew I wasn't going to convince anyone. I knew I wasn't going to persuade anyone. I knew like, the one thing I felt I could do was talk to the Lord about them and pray for them and pray for their heart. Because I knew I was like, I may never talk to that person again on this earth.
Right.
But I don't want to be holding animosity or hatred and unforgiveness and bitterness toward that person forever. That's not good.
It
That's
keeps
not
you
good.
captive. It really
For
does.
sure.
And Matthew 18 talks about this, and I love it because forgiveness is truly, Laura, the gift you give yourself. Because like you were just saying, how people have come back and wanted to have these conversations, wanted to ask for just forgiveness or even just stepping into a new season with you and whatever it may be, forgiveness is the gift you give yourself. And so if you wouldn't have allowed yourself to be willing to step into the healing with the Lord, you might have not been in a place to be able to receive and sit in those conversations. So glory to God, like to the friend
Praise
listening
the
that
Lord, I
is
know.
having a hard time forgiving, like this is the gift you give yourself. And this is what scripture says about forgiveness. And it's so wild. Like we need, I really want to read the whole thing, but y'all can read it. It's Matthew 18, 21 through 35. But really,
Yes.
verse 22 says, I do not say to you up to seven times about forgiveness. Peter was asking, oh, should I forgive seven times? And Jesus said, no.
Thinking that was generous, thinking like
Oh.
seven times, right? That's a
Oh,
lot.
that's a lot, like seven whole times. And Jesus said, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And between verses 22 and 23, Laura, I think the crowd or whoever was there besides Peter and all them, they were probably like, what does that mean? I literally can just see them being like, okay, math is hard. 70 times seven. So I could just see them having this glaze. And so then the Lord goes into Jesus goes into verse 23 saying, okay, let me just tell you a story here. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wishes to be settled his accounts with his slaves. So then they're like, oh, here's story time with Jesus, y'all. Gather around. We're about to have a lesson, you know? And so basically he goes on to say that there was a slave who had a huge debt. And in the Passion Translation, it says $1 billion. In the New American Standard Version, it says 10,000 talents. So to be able to have the Passion Translation to know like $1 billion, that's a lot of money. So, anyways, the story goes on to say that then that slave was forgiven that huge debt. And then that slave goes to another person and says, you owe me, for the New American Standard, it says 100 denarii. But in the Passion, it says $20,000 of debt. So, like, that is nothing compared to
A billion.
$1 billion, you know? And so, it's such an incredible story. And then the master hears about this that he didn't even forgive someone else just as he has been forgiven. And then verse 32 says, this is also the Georgia Brown translation. Y'all go read the Bible. Like, I'm just telling you what, like, is coming off my heart. But verse 32 says, he summoned him. His Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have mercy on your fellow slave in that same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed to him. Verse 35 says, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. So it's a difference from the forgiveness of your lips to your heart and giving over to the torturers.
Wow.
You know, that may look like bitterness, that may look like that unforgiveness and that anger. Like, and all of those things will then seep out into all of your relationships, from your spouse
For
to your
sure.
friendships to your career to even the overflow of your heart. Your songwriting makes you write songs like bitterness. Like, you just have all this stuff that you're wrestling with until you choose to step into that forgiveness. And so, man, it is a beautiful thing. Forgiveness is biblical. And, you know, I'm just so grateful, Laura, that you allowed this situation to be turned for good, because that's what our God does. He takes it
Amen.
all for his glory and for our utmost good. And girl, I met you at Bible study. Like,
I know.
hallelujah. Like,
And
how
I was
crazy is
so
that?
raw. I was so raw. I remember when I met you, I was just
I
like
loved
in
it.
a very tender place and hurt place. And you just spoke such sweet life and encouragement as you do, because that's just who you are. And you're a bundle of light. And I'm just so grateful God brought you into my life in that season and beyond, and that we are friends here because
Girl,
you're amazing.
I feel the same way. I remember we were just talking before Bible study started, and you were like, yeah, I have a songwriting session next week. And I was like, Really? Like you were like, this is this is new territory. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I just, for a moment, I just felt this peace over me for you. I was like, wow, God is about to do something really cool. It was like I could see what you couldn't see yet, of like, okay, this is about to be a very new season of good fruit because he was pruning. And I didn't
Yeah.
really know you. I just saw God's daughter, and I saw in your eyes a lot of pain, but also joy in the midst of sorrow. That you were
Yeah.
like, this is not happy, but I still have Jesus.
Yep.
And you took that. And truly, there are gifts through forgiveness and through being uprooted and placed into a new pot that is bigger for us to grow in. And so, girl, also, you have this first EP out, but there's more coming. Did you ever think that this would be the next new season for you? Like, what on
No, I know.
earth?
That's why I'm so excited. I have so much hope and expectancy for what's to come now.
Yeah.
And I never, no, never would have guessed I would be songwriting. I would bring everybody else's work to life. That's what I considered myself
Yeah.
an expert at. And now I'm getting to share my heart and my soul and God's heart through me. And like, it's no, there's a new sense of creativity and a call that I feel like is going to be fulfilled through this type of creation,
Yeah.
that is really exciting. And it's not just for me. Like a lot of it started as just for me, like my outlet, my form of creativity in a season where I felt silenced. It was a way for me to find my voice and use my voice. But I'm seeing now and understanding that it's to help other people,
Yeah.
and other people can also be affected or inspired, or maybe a song or even the story, what I'm sharing today, can help inspire someone else to find their backbone and stand up and courage in a time, or go through the process of forgiving when they've been holding on to bitterness. Like, I hope the music and this testimony can help other people as well. And you're a songwriter too,
Absolutely.
Miss Georgia.
It's so fun. I literally love it. It is so neat. The tagline of Faith and Friends at the very end of every episode that we say is, there's a song on your heart only you can sing. Your voice is important. And it's true. Like God's word says that the overflow of our like heart, the mouth speaks. And so to be able to hear a glimpse into your heart, Laura, through these melodies, it's so beautiful. And it's just such a gift to this side of heaven because it is the song only you can sing because your heart is different than everybody else's. And so
Yeah.
we need to sing the song that's on our hearts that he wants to write in and through us. And it may not always look like a 3.5 minute melody, but when it is, like, make a joyful noise, you know? And so
Yeah.
I love this because songwriting has been such a sweet gift for me. I never thought I could write a song, Laura, but when I was 14,
Me neither.
right. It's so weird. But when you step into that and when someone says, I believe in you, you're like, oh, okay, like, let me try this out. And I
Right.
remember I was 14 and my mom was like, just go upstairs, go to the music room. And I came back down an hour later with like a little piece of paper. I was like, Mommy, I wrote my first song. And she was
Oh
like,
my
I
goodness.
knew you could do it. And that's what our Heavenly Father is saying to us as you step into this forgiveness, as you step into new seasons. It's just like, I believe in you. I am with you. I will never leave or forsake you. I am your good father. I gave you
Yes.
today's breath. You have purpose, child. I love you. You know? And so, do you
Amen.
have any stories like that you could share, like maybe one little one about, maybe getting a DM from someone or being at an event or something I love about you in this new season is you're going to all of these schools. You even went to my alma mater, MTSU, and you were with the theater and department and just loving on those kiddos. Has there been something that has, I'm sure there's hundreds of stories, but something that sticks out to you about just,
Yeah.
wow, God is on the move.
Yeah, so good. There are so many, because it's easy to make those hateful voices the loudest.
Yeah,
You know what
very.
I mean? And those are the ones that stick with us. Like 99 people could give you a compliment, but then the one person that gave you a dig is the thing you're going to remember. So it's like, it's in the midst of all of the darkness, there's also so much light and support and love.
Yeah.
And remembering those voices, and honestly, the voice that matters the most, and that's God's voice. But yes, even so, I did get to go to MTSU. I'm very passionate about our next generation, and raising up just young people, whether it's artists, whether it's believers, all of the above, both of the above. I just am breathing life into them and being the person that, as you said, believes in them, that says you can do it. I think there's so many people in this world and so many things that are going to say no and that are going to be roadblocks. And I want to be the person that says, yes, you can, because I feel like my parents gave me that opportunity. And whether they knew it or not, I feel like I was told yes. And that's how I got to where I am today. And obviously, God ahead of me has amazing plans. And I can't wait to see what else is going to unfold. But I also got to go to Liberty University and work with the kids there. I've been teaching and coaching for a long time. And I kind of started doing it more during COVID. I started coaching over Zoom. It was, and I found that it really did give me purpose, like great purpose, especially when you work with this with people over time, you really do get to see them grow, like kind of before your very eyes. And I get very invested in their lives. And seeing people through their senior year of high school and then through college auditions and getting into that and going through things. So I've been very grateful that God has opened the door for me to kind of be a mentor to young women specifically. A lot of them are believers, not all of them are. But being able to speak into someone's life in a positive way and pray for those girls, I pray for them all. Like, I just, it's been very cool. And at the same time, here in Tennessee, I feel like we found a community too of people who are also like a step ahead in life of me and Nate, and that we can glean from my husband, Nate, and that we can glean from their wisdom and what they have to offer. And we're learning from them. And then I'm getting to pass on still to this next generation. So it's been really cool. God works in really awesome ways. And the one last thing I'm going to say is that the word that I got for this year, I think I shared this with you when we had coffee, was celebrate. And that was a big, like, God moment for me, because I feel like the last year and a half has not been a celebratory year at all. And when God gave me that word, I was shocked and like, really, Lord? Like, really? If there was something coming up this year that was going to ha be cause for celebration, that would be really, really nice. So that's why I'm hopeful and excited and expectant. And I just feel like he's blowing my mind every day with what I thought I was. And he's going, no, there is so much more. And I'm excited to continue to walk forward with open arms and an expectant heart for what that is.
It's time to get excited and to celebrate.
Amen.
Girl, I love you so
Love
much. I'm so grateful for you, this
you
conversation, your beautiful family. You and Nate are an incredible team for the kingdom. Oh, I'm so excited. Like, I'm here to celebrate with you, sister, and in the days to come. And I am just so pumped. Y'all catch her in some amazing Hallmark films out there and
too.
listen to her music. And if they're ever in Nashville, tell us about your show and then we'll say
Oh
goodbye to
yeah.
our friends. Yeah, because that's something
So
fun.
it is fun. I'm doing a residency show downtown Nashville called Shiners. However, I will say it's a little more it's for the grown-ups. It's for adult content. It's geared toward like the tourists and the bachelorette parties that come to Nashville. So again, use your discretion on that. But it's fun. I really love the people, and I'm having a very a really a great time doing it. And I'm glad like God has me there in this moment. And then hopefully more music to come. My album is called On the Other Side, very aptly titled. And it's yeah, five tracks about that journey of kind of going through loss and hurt and trying to come out the other side. And then hopefully five more tracks to come in the spring, summer. And I'm still in writing sessions now and have a few kind of stacked up, and now it's going to be narrowing down which ones I want to record. So thank you for your excitement, for sharing in going on the journey with me, Georgia. And I'm so excited for you too and this podcast and the things you're writing. And I can't wait to see and support and cheer you on as well.
God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Like,
Yep.
that's just the truth. And I'm so grateful to have this conversation with you. Thank you. I love you. You're in my
Love
prayers.
you.
And it's so fun to celebrate this life with you.
Thank you, Georgia. You too. Mwah.
Y'all, isn't Laura the sweetest? She shines so bright for the Lord, and I'm so grateful to call her sister in the Lord and friend. Y'all, forgiveness is a beautiful thing. It is the gift that we give ourselves, and it truly draws us closer to Jesus and one another through this process, even though sometimes it is painful. Sometimes we have to lay things down daily, hourly, just continually. And truly, there is freedom on the other side of forgiveness. So truly, I pray that this conversation met you right where you're at. I don't know where you are in this forgiving process. It truly is a process, but may we practice forgiveness. May it be our first response to go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, help me forgive them as you have forgiven me. Because forgiveness goes both ways, horizontally and vertically. He has forgiven us from so much. And because of Jesus, we don't have to be separated from him. Or after this life, go to HE Double Hockey Sticks. Hell, we can go to heaven to be forever with him. And so thank you, Lord God, for your forgiveness. So as we go our separate ways, y'all, I would love to pray for you as we've stepped into this conversation about forgiveness. Lord God, I enter your gates with praise and I enter your courts with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful conversation that we've had with Laura. I thank you for her life, her story, the calling that you have upon it. I was reading Ephesians 4 recently, Lord, where it says, live your life in a manner worthy of the calling that is upon it. And I thank you for the integrity and the sincerity and the humble heart that you have within your daughter, Laura. And truly, that has been grown and stretched through the fire. So God, as you take us through fires, God, I thank you that it is a refining fire that makes us look more like you. So Lord, even though we were in the fire sometimes, just like the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they never got burned. So Lord, thank you for being the other one in the fire with us, Lord. You are so good. And so God, I just pray over each and every friend under the sound of my voice. I pray that forgiveness would be truly a new anthem of their heart, God, that they would step into this because they see how you have loved and forgiven them. And so may this forgiveness anthem say, yes and amen, Lord. I forgive them as you have forgiven me, God. So thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to step into forgiveness. It is a beautiful thing. It is a process. So God, teach us. Teach us how to love one another well, just as you love us. So God, I thank you for even the opportunity to share this story with Laura, her beautiful testimony, all for your glory and Laura's good. So God, I just pray that this conversation falls on good soil of our friends' hearts. And Lord, wherever our friends are in the forgiveness process, Lord, if you would just bring to their remembrance right now, maybe someone or a situation, it might have been 5 years ago or 5 minutes ago, that we need to step into to start this forgiving process, God. So do what only you can do by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is your Son's perfect and holy name that we pray. Amen. Y'all, thank you so much for joining me in this conversation. I am beyond grateful for you, and I am here for you. It is a joy to be your sister in the Lord and your friend. So until we see each other next week, do not forget, friend, there is a song on your heart. Only you can sing. Your voice is important. Bye.